Good morning, Cole. You are on the air with Councillor June Dunnigan.
Hi there. Hey. What can I do for you?
Big guy. Hello.
Hello.
You're up.
Hey, gentlemen, can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Oh, okay. It's Sam Dodson. I have a call for Jill Dunnigan, or a question for Jill.
June,
thank you, about the parking downtown. Now, the law says that if a parking ticket is not issued a summons and brought to court after 90 days, that it's null and void. But what the police department is doing is, even though they're not taking most of these tickets to court, because clearly they just don't have the court resources to do that, but once the tickets have expired and lost any legal authority, they're still demanding money for them, withholding registration and keeping college kids from graduating for tickets that carry no more force of law.
That's not true, but you can go ahead. I proposed that, but that never happened.
It is true. Me and they towed my car.
But you're not a college kid.
Okay.
And let me just to be brief, Ms. Dunnigan, Councillor Dunnigan, does not have the response or a response to you because it's out of her purview, and so I would encourage you to speak to the city manager or the police chief.
She's on the council,
all right.
And who can change this if she can't?
She can.
It's a fair question to ask.
All right. Well, and she has heard you, and she will consider it, and thank you for your time today. Okay, so back to where we were. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Fred and Mark.
Good morning, guys. Thank you. I always like when you're on the show, Fred, and I'm really glad Mark is here today. Haven't heard him on the show. He has an excellent radio presence. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
He's a professional. I'm just a layman doing this.
You all do a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
How may we help you?
Well, I wanted to bring a few things up. I heard just recently that 48 million people did not turn in the federal census forms, and I think that's pretty amazing. But the city councilor who was on earlier, and I'm sorry, I'm evading her name.
Councilor Dunnigan.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I listened. I heard her name 1,000 times. So I couldn't even think of it. She's not in my area. So.
Uh-huh.
She was wondering about, taxing the taxable properties and whatnot, and we could always just do what the jail does, we could just steal it from everybody and just tax everyone else, and hey, it works for them because, if you don't like it and you decide you don't want to pay, well, we'll either lock you up or kick your families out of the homes. I think that's pretty silly, and they did that. You heard about that, the trespass of 12 down there this last weekend. These people weren't even warned anything about anything. They got all 12 people got arrested. Well, somebody got hit downtown, and the police who were supposed to be there to help us, they're locking people up. And it was really, really, really silly.
Indeed. All right. Well, thanks for your thoughts. It's been a pleasure.
You know, I think that when you're talking about the trespassing 12 there among the Free Keen Liberty activists that were protesting at the jail, I think mistakes were made on both sides of that particular issue. The marching around the jail, I can see how it seems like it could be a security risk for the jail. I know they were allowed to do that at the previous jail, and this is a new jail, and the administrators or whatever, whomever, made the decisions that's not going to happen again. It seemed like they planned this. There were, 12 or 15 law enforcement officers that were called in, and it did leave quite a few places unattended.
There was probably a contingency plan, and I'm just speaking off the cuff because I have no idea. I'm no involvement in
such
matters.
That's my guess, yeah.
But, yeah. So to go back to more germane matters, the middle school. Cole, you're on the air with Fred and Mark.
Good morning, Fred. Good morning, Mark. Nice to be chatting with you gentlemen. This is Chaz Monroe. The reason why I wanted to call today, I wanted to pick up on what the last caller had mentioned about the arrest of the trespassing 12 there at the jail. I'd like to think that there would be some type of a precedent being set by the old jail there in Westmoreland where folks were allowed to come
it's
up
Westmoreland.
There. No problem. Yeah, Westmoreland. Oh, sorry.
I can tell you're not new. You're new to the neighborhood.
Yeah. Anyway, Anyway, I believe that it would set some type of precedent. There was a hands-off type of thing. In fact, folks were allowed to, you know, to go there and, you know, have cookouts and everything and frolic. And I must admit, I am a frolicker. I am a frolicker at Westmoreland.
Westmoreland. Well, that may be true. Let me just say this about that. I'm sure that the police were notified by someone in command, in charge of the facility wherein this occurred, and that they just didn't show up there on their own because they had nothing else to do, as already has been demonstrated. And if that's the rule of law up there, we'll find out, because there is going to be probably a trial for each and every one of those 12 individuals, and we'll find out how that goes. And thank you for your thoughts and opinions on such matters.
You know, the jail set up differently. I want to get back to the middle school thing, but the jail is set up differently here than it was in Westmoreland. Westmoreland was a very self-contained, few windows, things like that. This one is much more open, and I think that that's probably part of the concern.
Perhaps. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Fred and Mark.
Hi, Fred. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Pardon me?
I said, hello, Fred. Hello, Mark. How are you?
We are both
well, sir.
Wonderful.
I realize I'm double-dipping.
You are,
Fred.
Too, so 30 seconds. Go.
Mark, is this the station that you broadcast on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock?
I broadcast on actually three stations in the town of Keene, and then one in Brattleboro at this time. But yes, this is one of them.
Oh, okay, all right. My question is, why do you think that the governor is, you know, not willing to, you know, pass or at least look at the, you know, the legalization of marijuana or the gambling bill? And I'll hang up and listen to your call. Have a good weekend, gentlemen.
You know, on this particular issue, it's hard to say. I don't know why. I would say that Lynch is probably beholden to the police unions, and the police aren't interested in doing that. That would be my guess. I know that the chiefs, the organization of chiefs of police, come out every time they talk about any kind of decriminalization, whether it's a dollar reduction in the fine or whatever. That they generally come out in that, and I suspect that it's probably being beholden to that municipal organization.
You know, I've facetiously said over the years I've been in three wars in my life. One was the Southeast Asia War Games. We came in second in that one. I've been involved in the war on crime, and I've been involved in the war on drugs, and I have yet to finish first in any one of those. I think the war on drugs is lost. It's over. And while I never have ever, I know I'm a dinosaur in that regard, used any of those types of drugs, I do believe we need to decriminalize them. And you will recall, made an effort with the city council last year that a group of local individuals helped to get defeated. Thank you to them for that. They stepped on their own feet, so to speak. I don't understand why we don't decriminalize. That does not mean legalize.
Well, I think the difference between the war on crime that you mentioned and the war on drugs is that when you as a police officer picked up a burglar, the burglaries in town went down. When you got a car thief, stolen cars diminished. When you got a drug dealer, somebody else just started selling more drugs.
Sure. Well, that's why I say we've lost the war. It's over.